Good morning, everybody. Once again, I want to welcome you guys to our West Point Church online church service. I hope the Word of God has been helping you in your walk with the Lord. We have been preaching and teaching throughout the month of August on the School of Prophecy, Part 5. If you want to access any of those syllabus notes, you can go to the church website, click on online services, and there is a link there that will open up all of the syllabus notes. You can also go to the Facebook page and access them there. If you have not downloaded the church app for West Point Church, I would encourage you to do that. If you have the church app downloaded on your phone, you have instant accessibility to all of the syllabus notes. And not only to that, but also to all of the sermons and teachings that we do, you have full power right there to access it through the church app. You can also use that for giving. If you want to make a contribution to the church, you can do that through the church app. I would encourage you to download the church app. It gives you a lot of ammunition there. You can access everything spiritually. Keep up with events, everything that's going on. So I would encourage you, if you have not done that, I would encourage you to do so. Well, I want to get right to the word today. This is the final, this is lesson number 5. This is the fifth and final lesson in our series on part 5 of School of Prophecy. So this is the fifth seminar that I've done on the School of Prophecy. And boy, we have talked about a lot of things. We've talked about a lot of conditions and characteristics that are going on in our world. A lot of information. The system of the beast, you know, the great falling away. And I always like to end prophetic teachings with what God's going to do. You know, because we know that everything is running its course. The evil is running its course. We know that the Antichrist is going to make his appearance. All the world is going to bow down and worship him. There'll be a one world government, a cashless society. You know, we've kind of hit on all of those things. So I always like to end it when I do a concluding lesson on a prophecy seminar. I always like to end it on what God does at the end of time. So this concluding lesson today, lesson 5, is entitled The End Time Move of God. So I want to start with two selected scriptures, sections of scripture. Both of them are New Testament. I want to visit the book of James, first of all, chapter 5. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord." He says, "See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land." He's giving us an analogy here of how a farmer waits for the harvest, but it is a spiritual lesson that is being taught. He goes on and he says, "See how the farmer keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and the late rains." So he's talking about, you know, the rain that comes at the planting and the rain that comes prior to the harvest. So the next verse he says, "So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty." What is the final certainty? Here it is, that the coming of the Lord is very near. Praise God. The coming of the Lord is near. We will be gathered together to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. My friend, that is the greatest hope that we have as believers, is that this world is not our home. Our confidence is not in this world or in the things of this world. Our confidence and our expectancy is in Jesus Christ. Now let me kind of draw that also or cross-reference that with another verse found in the book of Acts where we read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. This is a verse that I pray all the time because it says this, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Here's the reason why this always excites me and encourages me. Because it is a prophetic statement of the young generation, that prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, that our sons and our daughters, the young generation, they will declare the word of God. When the Bible says they shall prophesy, that simply means, the word prophesy simply means to declare divine oracles. They shall declare the word of the Lord. They shall preach the word of the Lord. So this is an incredible prophetic scripture to encourage you today. In spite of all the wickedness and all the evil that is unfolding, my friend, God is going to move in the last days. So let me expound on some thoughts here today in our syllabus outline. First of all, I want to expound on the last outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time today to talk about previous outpourings of the Holy Spirit that we have seen through the course of church history. We know the greatest explosion of the Holy Spirit was in the book of Acts, chapter 2, from which we just read a portion, when God poured out of his Spirit, and thus began the age or the era or the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about some things here today of what this last outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to look like. There has been moves of God from the moment when Jesus Christ went to the cross, died for our sins, was buried, was resurrected, poured out of his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2. And then every succeeding generation after that, there has been many moves of God throughout church history. So what is going to be different from this last outpouring? Is it going to be different? I believe the main difference is going to be the level of intensity. Is that it is going to be a level of intensity that is going to be tailor-made for this last generation. So let me share some things with you on the last outpouring of the Holy Spirit. First of all, number one, let's give some insight and understanding, you know, of where we are. First of all, the very first outpouring of the Holy Spirit began the church age. The last outpouring of the Holy Spirit will end the church age. This is symbolized by the wording that we just read in James chapter 5 of the early rain and the latter rain. There will be the early rains and there will be the late rains, according to James chapter 5. This symbolizes, you know, the move of the Holy Spirit. So this is symbolized by the wording of the early or the former rain and the late or the latter rain. The second thing under the last outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This last outpouring will be a mighty worldwide outpouring upon all of humanity before Jesus returns. In other words, there will be a global harvest. Whenever I think of this, I always remember of what we read in Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 and verse 14, where Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come." And of course, the great commission that Jesus gave his disciples was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, every living being. That was the great commission. So this last outpouring is going to be a worldwide move of God. It's not going to just be focused in one area. It's going to be worldwide. Here's the third thing. This latter rain, in a prophetic sense, is a mighty revival of the believers in the last days of this present age. So in other words, God is going to move in the hearts and lives of born-again people of God. There is going to be a reviving. There is going to be a coming alive unto God like we've never seen before. There is going to be a shaking in the church, and God is going to move supernaturally upon those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Now, the reason for that is because born-again believers, they are the instruments that God is going to use to usher in this last harvest, this worldwide harvest. So God has to shake the church out of complacency. He has to shake it out of apathy. He has to shake it out of half-heartedness. And it must be a body of sold out on fire believers for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God for a last day's outpouring. Well, let me keep moving. Here's the next thing. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah, in the Old Testament, in the book of Zechariah, he gave a prophecy of this end times outpouring, and he said that this end times outpouring would restore Israel and the house of Judah back to God. Now, the Bible tells us that blindness in part has happened to Israel. You know, but God is moving to fulfill the prophetic word. And Zechariah prophesies that that the house of Israel, that God will restore Israel, and the house of Judah will be restored back to God. Listen to this in Zechariah 10, verse 1. He says, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain." Notice again the similarity of what we read in the book of James. Again, symbolic of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So he said, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds." All of this is symbolic. "He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone." Everyone. So the word of God is clear that God is going to move. Now I just included one verse, but if you read on in the book of Zechariah, you will find more details of what this prophecy really means. And of course, and how it relates to Israel at the end of time. Let me keep moving on. Number five, because we've read something here that makes a reference to showers of blessing. Showers of blessing refers to seasons of multiple moves of the Holy Spirit before Jesus returns. So there will be seasons of refreshing. Now, immediately that reminds me of what we read in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. He says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing," that's it right there, showers of blessing, "times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ." Now make the connection, because there's the connection of a move of God to the coming of Christ. He says right here, there will be times of refreshing that will come from his presence. And then he will send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Notice this next statement, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Let me keep moving forward. Number six. See, the times of refreshing seems to point to the subduing of all sin and rebellion that is resistant to the authority of God in the earth. That's why Jesus declared that all authority had been given to him in heaven and in earth. We read this in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then we read this, for he, the Father, has put all things in subjection under his, Christ's feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection under him, it is evident that he himself is accepted who does the subjecting of all things to him. In other words, all things will be made subject to the authority of Jesus Christ, because he is Lord of lords and he is King of kings. So all things are going to be put in subjection under him. Let's read on. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:27-28. He goes on and he says this, however, when everything is subjected to him, then the Son himself, so when everything falls under the authority of Christ, then look what happens. Then the Son himself will also subject himself to the Father, who put all things under him. The Father put all things under Christ, so that God may be all in all, that he may be everything to everyone, supreme, the indwelling and controlling factor of life. Wow, what an incredible promise. Let me move on. Under last day's outpouring, number 7. This last great worldwide outpouring of the Holy Spirit will produce a spiritually empowered church. This empowered church will be the force that God uses to complete the Great Commission. Ephesians 5:27, it says that he might present her to himself, who is the her, the body of believers, the church, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. My friends, God is going to accomplish all of these things in the last day's outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let me keep moving. I want to, this is just kind of to summarize our sermon series on the School of Prophecy that we've been involved in now for the last, including today, the last 5 weeks. 5 trends of the last days. I'm just going to hit these things because we've already kind of touched on all of them, but I just want to kind of hit them to summarize. So first of all, number 1, world conditions will continue to deteriorate and the world will become chaotic with no solutions to be found. My, we've hit on all of those things. We've hit on these deteriorating conditions. And don't we see the chaos? I mean, the world is in chaos. 5 trends of the last days. Number 2, in order to try to solve these problems, a world government will develop that will be characterized by an economic plan and a religious nature. This world government is the system of the beast. And man, I can't tell you how much feedback I had on that lesson, and that God used that teaching to really speak to people and get them serious about their relationship with the Lord and where they stand with Jesus Christ. And my friends, it should, because we see all of it unfolding in the world in which we are living in today. Here's the 3rd trend. Because of the sin and rebellion against God by the nations of the world, God is going to shake the nations to accomplish his purpose. Every human system will fail and it will crumble. Listen to what the prophet of God says in the Old Testament book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 7. God said through the prophet, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. God is going to shake the world. It is in the prophetic word of God. He is going to shake it, and I believe we are already seeing the shaking going on right now. Let me move on. Here's the fifth trend. Israel will be restored to her land and will come to know her Messiah, Jesus Christ. Here again, Old Testament prophet Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one grieves for a firstborn. At Zechariah 12:10. So Israel will be restored completely to her land, and she will recognize Jesus Christ. That's a powerful thought. It says they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Wow, what a prophetic word. Here's the fifth trend. The true church will experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will empower her to reap the final harvest of souls before Jesus comes. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said this to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then let's cross-reference that with Revelation 14. He says, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.'" My friends, a last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit will produce a last day's ingathering of souls into the kingdom of God. Men and women out of every nation, every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue is going to make Jesus Christ Lord of their lives. Hallelujah. That is exciting stuff. And to think that you and I are living at this time in history, and that God has chosen us to participate in this great worldwide harvest. Let me keep moving on. Let me give you some things under this thought of the effects of the last day's outpouring. Because, man, the effects of it, the power of it is awesome. Let me share some effects of the last day's outpouring. First of all, number one, it will produce a great anointing of power and boldness. Man, I love this recorded in Acts chapter 4. One verse I'll share with you is verse 31. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken." Wow. Can you imagine that? A prayer meeting that produced a shaking in the building, in the gathering spot. And it says, "And they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." My friends, the effects of the last day's outpouring, it is going to produce a great anointing of power and boldness. Thank God. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost in these last days. Here's the second thing. Jesus Christ is going to be exalted in the earth. Listen to what we read here. Another Old Testament prophet, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. He says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall grow out, you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." Hallelujah. Again, this is symbolic. This means there will be an increase of spiritual power. Your spirit will be fully grown and developed in the person of Jesus Christ. This last day's outpouring means a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit that will produce miracles. He said, you will fear my name. The Son of Righteousness is going to arise with healing in his wings. Here's the third effect. The effect of this outpouring will be the power of Holy Ghost joy. The testimony of God's people will be a testimony of pure joy. Here's another example found in the book of Acts. This is in chapter 8, verse 7 and 8. It says, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And look at this. And there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. A move of God, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost is going to produce joy like we've never seen before. It's like Peter made a reference to it when he was talking about the awesomeness of salvation and the person of Jesus Christ. And he says that that we believe, even though we have not seen him, we believe in him and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank God for the joy of the Holy Ghost. Here's number four. There will be a fresh fire that will invade the heart and life of God's people. This fire will amplify the work of God in your life. Listen to this, Psalms 50. He says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. My friend, there is going to be a fresh fire in the last days that is going to fall upon the people of God. Hallelujah. I believe it's time to get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because God is going to pour out his spirit. So in conclusion today, I always want to give you action steps. So I want to conclude with two action steps to prepare you for the end time outpouring. First of all, number one, keep your heart burning with the Holy Spirit. Is your heart on fire for God? Are you burning with the Spirit of God right now? If not, my friend, you can be. Let me give you Romans chapter 12, verse 11. I want to give you two translations, the Amplified Bible and the Message Bible. Listen to what this says. He says, first of all, in the Amplified, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Listen to it in the Message Bible. He says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Then here's the second action point to prepare for the end time outpouring. Keep the fire of your personal altar burning at all times. You've got to have a personal prayer life. You've got to build your own private altar. I'm not talking about going gather sticks and stones and building something, you know, like they did in the Old Testament. I'm talking about find a place to get alone with God, wherever it may be, and build your personal altar right there. Have a meeting place with God. Listen to what we read in Leviticus 6:13. He said, the fire shall be burning continually upon the altar. It shall never go out. My friend, are you on fire for God? Is your altar burning? If it's not, you can repent right now and sell out to Jesus and get on fire for God. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, every person hearing this message today, Lord, I don't know where they are in their walk with you, but I know you do. And I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you will touch them, you will convict them, you will empower them. My God, you will pour out of your spirit upon them, shake them from complacency and apathy, and they will never be the same again. And God, I believe you, they will build an altar. They will have the fire of God burning in their spirit, and they will build an altar to be a vessel of God in these last days. That's it, my friends. Get on fire for God. Stay strong. We love you. We are praying for your victory in Jesus' name.